Charlie Scalise and Rafael Alvarez, welcome to The Signal.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
So Rafael is sort of a fixture around The Signal at holiday time. He's his famous story, now famous, I would say, Aunt Lola, is a holiday tradition for us, a nice Christmas story.
It's about making pizza cookies the old-fashioned way, Charlie.
Oh, with the iron?
With the iron over the flame.
Well, I've got one of them at home.
Yep. It's legendary. You should try to hear it this year. But you two go back now, I guess it's been several years, by working together on a little show that we recall here in Baltimore as The Wire.
Well, this was for season two of The Wire, which was set on the Baltimore waterfront. It was the stevedores who were involved in all manner of stevedoring tricks on the waterfront. And Charlie was cast as one of the main union guys, the union president, Frank Sabaka's right-hand man. And his character was Horseface Pakusa. And the opening scene of season two is set in a South Baltimore bar, Locust Point Bar, and all the guys are standing around, drinking, laughing, and telling stories from the old days, and I was asked to write that scene and basically used all the memories I had of growing up down in the old Thames Street area where my dad worked on the Baker Whiteley tugboats and all of his buddies. And it wasn't very hard to write these lines for Charlie because his character and who he is in real life is the sort of guy I've known my entire life.
See, that's interesting. I think people think of a show that they watch on TV and it's actors playing and people just being cast that you could play any kind of role. But what made you such a good fit for that role? And how did you come to play that role?
Well, people ask me about acting and how do I act, and I say it's easy. I either do myself or my brother. That's it. I mean, that's my range, because all you need to do is look at me, and you know no one is going to cast me to play any Robert Redford part. So it's a short, round guy with a funny-looking face and a sort of a South Philadelphia dialect.
Which is very close to the Baltimore dialect.
So if you need one of those guys, I'm here.
Yeah. But now, did you guys know, that's season two of The Wire, were you aware when you were filming that just how big a show that was going to become? I mean,
No one knew. David Simon didn't know. And in fact, when The Wire was actually being aired in real time from 02 through about 05, it was not the mythic legend that it is today. It became a super-duper hit internationally once it went to DVD and sort of had a second, third, and fourth life when the BBC started to rebroadcast it. I mean, we had our followers. It was slow to get out of the gate, and no one could have predicted that this is something that was going to be hailed as the greatest television show in the history of television.
Yeah, I mean, it must be funny to have done it and then now experience it. I mean, people think, wow, you were on The Wire. That's kind of a big deal.
It was a very big deal for me because my wife turned me on to season one, and I got to see the second episode of season one, and I just fell in love with the show. And then months later, to be called into audition for season two, I thought I had died and went to heaven. And it was one of those auditions when you read the lines, people get excited and you immediately say, well, cross that one off because that's not going to happen. Well, that didn't happen. I did get cast. So I was as excited as you could possibly be. And then to come on the show and to spend the entire season there. And I wasn't contracted for the season, but it turned out to be that way, one show at a time. And so you had asked a question about how Ralphie and I got together. Well, everything I said, he put all those words in my mouth, and they were great words.
Well, I had heard these stories growing up. Like I said, my dad worked down the waterfront, and it wasn't just tugboat guys. It was also stevedores and bar owners and, you know, old Polish ladies who ran boarding houses. And you would hear a lot about wooden shovels. and wooden shovels were used in the holds of grain ships because they would not cause sparks. And a spark in the hold of a grain ship can be very, very dangerous and lead to explosions. And when I was a little kid growing up, I would hear things like I'd never seen a wooden shovel. We didn't use a wooden shovel to shovel the snow. But the strangeness of it, the conflict of the word wood and the word shovel. And one of the very first lines that Charlie speaks as Horseface on the Wire is talking about the old days of shoveling out grain ships with a wooden shovel. But then after I got to know him and we became friends, and he also became friends with my mom and dad as well, it was easy to start writing specifically for him, because he was no longer just a character on a page. He had embodied it. And the other thing about The Wire and how Charlie says he wasn't under contract for the entire year, David was very clear that we were not writing to stars. There pretty much are no stars on The Wire. Some actors are remembered more than others, but it was a large, large cast. And we would write always to service the story. And as the second season on the waterfront played out, Horseface Bakusa became increasingly more important to the machinations of his boss, Frank Sobotka.
It's interesting to think about, you know, bringing in writers with different kinds of expertise. And I know, Raphael, you're a seasoned writer. You can write about anything. You know, you write all kinds of different things. But to have that kind of insider information and that sort of like steeped, you know, spending your whole life in that milieu is kind of
well. That was specifically
thing.
Why I was hired. I had a script in season one. You know, David and I had known each other as reporters at The Sun for many, many years, but he brought me on for the entire as a staff writer for all of season two, specifically because of my maritime background. So, I mean, he's very, very calculating in who he would hire for what. As, you know, Zorzi starts taking on a big role in season three when the show became very political in City Hall because Bill Zorzi had covered City Hall and the General Assembly for The Sun.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Charlie, you know, you mentioned playing certain roles, you or your brother, but you didn't come to acting until later in life. How did you decide to, you know, throw your hat into the ring, as
well,
they say?
It was almost by accident. 1991, I had, you know, I worked in industry and I had a career with, you know, corporations, and I said, you know, basta, enough of this. I wanna go do something on my own. So I left and I started my own company, and at the same time, I happen to be listening to the radio in my car, and I hear a familiar voice doing a commercial, and I realized that's one of my dearest friends. I went to high school and college together. He was even in my wedding party. Hadn't seen him in years because he went off to New York to be an actor. So I found that he had returned to Philadelphia and opened up a school to teach people how to read. So I found him, and I also found that he had opened up a business, an acting school. So I went to see him, and he said, well, what are you doing acting-wise? I said, well, I'm just doing community theater stuff just for my soul. He said, why don't you stop screwing around and turn pro? I said, well, I don't know how to do that. So he said, here, go see this guy. Get your headshot taken. My partner's wife is a talent manager. I'll put you in some of our shows. She'll see you. She'll love you. She'll send you out on auditions. You'll book work. Son of a gun. That's exactly what happened. So it was like being in the right place at the right time. I walked right into it. And then to meet this guy, and we're like brothers under the skin. I met him on the first day of the shoot at lunch. I sat down at the table with my big platter. You know, actors love to eat. And he was sitting right next to me, and we started to talk, and I had no idea who he was. And sort of, you know, what did Humphrey Bogart say? It's the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
let's not go there, Charlie.
But here you are all these years later, and it's obvious that you're a dear friend of Raphael's, because Raphael has invited you to participate in another annual holiday tradition here in Baltimore, which is Raphael Alvarez's literary extravaganza reading at the Pratt Library.
The Frank Zappa branch of the Pratt Library.
Yes.
At Conkling and Eastern.
Tell me a little bit about that and what you're doing this year.
Well, Charlie and I have stayed in touch, as we've said, and I'm always doing something around town. I had the Greektown reading series last year, in which Charlie came and did a wonderful reading as H.L. Mencken. And for about the last 7 or 8 years, I've done a Saturday before Christmas sort of literary event at it's actually the Southeast Anchor branch of the Pratt at Conklin and Eastern, where the old Grand Theater used to be. And each year it's been a selection of my friends from the writing world. A couple years ago, we actually had a fabulous poet named Afa Michael Weaver, who has done very well. And we mix it up with little kids singing Christmas carols, and we get some cookies. One year, a nice Italian lady brought me an entire Italian dinner in a shopping bag as my Christmas present. Everything, garlic bread, lasagna, salad. It was wonderful. And about 6 or 7 months ago, Charlie and I began talking about a screenplay that he's written. Charlie can tell you more about the actual screenplay, but we were able to carve it down to a one-hour play, and we're going to do a table reading of it. And again, I'm inviting, part of it is to bring people I know from my real life in to have fun and help out. And we're going to be auctioning off one of my old Wire scripts that Charlie and I have signed to benefit Poe Baltimore and the efforts to keep the Poe House open here in Baltimore. So Michelle Wojciechowski is going to be part of this table read, as is Rosalia Scalia. And my good buddy Andy Ferrantos of G&A Coney Island Hot Dogs is just dying for the opportunity to dress up like a Mafia Don. Because as we all know, the very, very successful Mafia Dons do sell chili dogs on Eastern Avenue. It's just a front, you know.
Well, tell me about this screenplay. Tell me a little bit about the story. First of all, what is it called?
It's called It Takes Balls.
Okay.
it's a story.
It's a family story.
Yeah, it's a family story. It really is. It's before I tell you what it's about, the idea behind it is that there's a difference between courage and balls. People who have courage, I mean, are to be lauded. There's no question about it. But you calculate the risk before you act. People with balls don't calculate the risk. They just go ahead and do it. I decided 20-some years ago to write the story about around my father's pool room. I was born over a pool room in South Philadelphia. My father owned a pool room from 1938, before I was born, till he died in 1966. But the pool room was actually a front for illegal gambling. He used to have poker games downstairs. That's where all the money was made. And he would get raided all the time. But he would get tipped off, so nothing ever happened. It was that was the game. Back then, Philadelphia was a wide-open town. So I said, gee, I've met all of these strange people, funny people, people that Ralphie likes to write about, people that are textured. There's more to them than just what you see. And I wanted to put them all together. So on the first movie I did, Two Bits was shot in Philadelphia. I was lucky to be sitting next to the writer, Joe Stefano, who also wrote Psycho. And I had a few minutes and I said to him, wow, Mr. Stefano, I've got this story in mind about a pool room. And he said, nah, I don't write that. He said, everybody writes pool room stories. So I told him about the characters. He's got to be more than characters. He's got to have a story. So I said, well, I'm not a screenwriter. He said, you will be when you write it. So, you know, 20 years later, I took his challenge, and I'm deciding to write this story, and in my mind, my father was my father was going to be the character that I based the hero on, and then I realized, no, my mother was my hero. She's the one that did everything for us, but never said a word about it. She just did it. So she put herself out there. So I cast the story about a woman, simple housewife, who is an Italian-American, which means that she is a cross between Mother Teresa of Calcutta and General George Patton, separated by a tripwire, and you don't want to be the one that trips the wire.
But, I met that lady.
yes. I mean, it's every Italian-American woman. She's very, very protective. So it's a story about her, and it's a story where she wants everything for her family. She wants everything for her husband. Her husband has a heart attack that nearly kills him, so she's forced to get him away from the pool room, take him out to the country. And she's then based with the choice, do I either save his life or do I save his soul? Because moving him out to the country is a fish out of water. She's battling. She's battling not only that, but a secret that she keeps, which is if he dies, the woman that I want to be can never be, because When he looks at me, that's who he sees. Not the woman I am. He sees the woman I want to be. I'm choking up as I say this.
Yeah, no, really. That's a...
And she finally decides I have to do the right thing by him. That's when she finds out that the big politician in town, for political reasons, does not want him to open up that pool hall again. But Ralphie mentioned about the Christmas in South Philly, and one of the key scenes is an Italian Christmas, a Christmas Eve dinner, you know, the Feast of the Seven Fishes. But to make it interesting, I took the next-door neighbors, the Irish people, and brought them in and let them experience the dinner. And what goes on there is hilarious, particularly between the two grandmoms who start to tipple.
Well, I think my heart has actually grown a couple sizes larger today, sitting here talking to you guys. It's great to have you, and your holiday traditions, Raphael, are a wonderful part of our lives here, and we love sharing them with our listeners. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
It
will
be
Saturday, December 21st at 2 o'clock at the Southeast Anchor branch of the Pratt, Conkling, and Eastern Avenue in Highlandtown.
Charlie Scalise is an actor who portrayed Thomas Horseface Pacusa on Season 2 of The Wire. Rafael Alvarez wrote many of his most memorable lines. Alvarez's latest collection of short stories is Tales from the Holy Land. The 6th annual Highlandtown Literary Extravaganza is on Saturday, December 21st at 2 p.m. at the Enoch Pratt Southeast Anchor Library. For The Signal, I'm Lisa Morgan.
If you walk with Jesus, he's gonna save your soul.